Awesome. Thanks, Susan. Good morning. Good morning. I am still getting my butt kicked by this cold that I got at middle school camp last week or the week before. I'm here this morning. Can anyone under the age of 50 here tell me what a Trapper Keeper notebook is? Yeah? Three ring binder, extra like division stuff in it. Okay. Trapper Keeper. I've got Trapper Keeper sounds like something you'd use out in the woods, but that maybe that's just me. I don't see him here this morning. Is Alan Mike? Yes, he is. Could Alan Michael please stand up? All right. Thank you. He was our, oh, and he gets something. The Robin Hood hat. He was the winner of our second annual Robin Hood archery tournament. Put the hat on. Yay! You can keep that until next year when I win, and then I have to wear it for a whole message. I didn't say that. Are you recording this? Cool. So, congratulations. And he is the rightful winner because he's practiced way more than any of us who are out there flinging arrows around. So, glad that you got that. Today, we're going to be going into our last message on our series on Fathered by God. Before we get into that this morning, welcome. As Susan said, if you're visiting this morning, you may be coming in like, we're just finishing a series, I'm lost. I want to give a little bit of a map ahead for us, because as Susan mentioned as well, we're kind of in transition. This is the last Sunday in August, so bye-bye summer. And some of you, maybe it's this last week of summer for you before you go back to school. Some of you are teachers in here, and you're trying to get curriculum and stuff together for your kids. So summer is coming to an end, but all that means is hunting season opens next weekend, so it's a good thing. But I want to talk a little bit about the next several Sundays. So we're finishing a series this morning, and before we jump into our next series, which I'll talk about, I want to look at the next three. So next Sunday, one of the things God's been putting on my heart in the last probably 3 or 4 months is there are incredible stories sitting in this room of how God has moved and worked through people in their lives and their testimony. And there's a lot of power in testimony. And one of the things that I feel called to do is to release more time for us to hear those testimonies when we're together. So there's a lot of significance in us being together. So I think the question is, Lord, when we're together, what is the best use of our time to see us becoming what we've been talking about as salt and light? Jesus said we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Teaching is incredible and awesome and really important, but it shouldn't be the only thing we do when we're together. Worship is significant. That's something we should be spending time in. Prayer, something that God's going to be challenging us in this next season. We should be praying more together. I mean, more than just our prayers for offering or a prayer to open up communion time or a prayer to close the service. But praying together for each other and for the things that God wants to accomplish. And we should be sharing testimony. With that, I want to take the opportunity of being between a series. Milt Hansen, one of our elders, he was a doctor, a missionary, has some incredible stories of how God's worked in him, through him, things he's seen in his life that have helped convince him that Jesus is who he says he is. And so this is an opportunity. Next Sunday, Milt's going to come up and give the message, and he's going to share some of those stories and open the word with us together and just show how the testimony of God working through his life has grounded him in his faith. And I think it's going to encourage all of us. And if that sparks something in you, come talk to me. Let me know. Like, if there's some testimony, how God's worked through your life, and you want other people to know about it, I want to find a way for you to be able to share those stories. They mean a lot to God, and they will impact our lives. So that's coming up next Sunday. And then, before starting the new series, we're going to have a Sunday on the 8th where we're going to launch a journey through the Bible. And what that means is, just as I've been talking with friends, and even through a conversation that came up during our elder retreat a couple weeks ago as we were seeking the Lord, is the importance of one value we really have here at Adventure Church is that you can hear the voice of God, okay? Not maybe in a way that you're thinking of this booming voice or this audible voice, but different ways that he speaks to us. And we've covered some of those in our series on Fathered by God and how he fathers us. But what's really important to couple with that is knowing and understanding the Word of God so that you can recognize, is this my voice? Is this our enemy's voice? Or is it God speaking to me? Well, when you're familiar with his Word, that's one of the ways that the Holy Spirit that's been given to you can help you determine, interpret, translate what voices you're hearing, and does it line up with his Word, his character. And so think about, you don't have to say out loud, but think about how long it's been since you've read every book of the Bible. Have you ever read every book of the Bible? For me, as the pastor of this church, it's been a long time. I definitely have read every book of the Bible, but it's been a long time since I've read some of them. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start a challenge that's going to immerse us in the Word of God. In 4 months, we're going to read the entire Bible. And it's aggressive enough that you are going to have to say no to some things that you're doing right and spending your time doing right now if you want to complete it. It's about 10 chapters a day. Okay? You're all like, but I'm looking forward to it because it's going to challenge me, and it's going to make me change the way I spend my time. I'm going to have to do some things less in order to be immersed, but I'm excited to know that I'm going to experience the whole story of God within a 4-month period where I could still remember when I started and when I stopped. Anyways, the 8th, we're going to talk a lot about that, a lot about details, how you can complete this. It's going to be fun. We're going to form a community of those who are signing up for this and encourage each other and check in and share the cool things that we're discovering in God's Word. It's going to be looking at the tree, not the leaves, right? We're just going to take it in, and we're going to talk about how to do that with a posture of submission to the Holy Spirit as we just take in the Word of God in 4 months. So that's going to be cool. We'll have a celebration probably in January. So I'll talk more about that, but don't miss September 8th as we launch that and start warming up your reading muscles or whatever, I don't know. Okay, so then September 15th, so 3 weeks out, we'll start our new series on the Holy Spirit. So we've spent the last couple of months talking about the Father. So we have the Trinity, we have the Godhead, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we've talked about the Father, and his role in our lives. And so we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit and not just learning about him, but there's going to be some challenge to step into maybe some new disciplines in your life. That's why it's the timing of us digging into the Word of God is going to be important. But one thing I want to bring you up on is in our elder retreat, one of the things we heard God speaking to us very clearly, and kind of through the idea of, how many of you are familiar with the Dawn Treader, C.S. Lewis's book, The Dawn Treader? Okay, so there's different kinds of ships. There's aircraft carriers. The Dawn Treader is this old kind of Viking ship, and there's a crew of specialized army on that ship, and they have a mission that they're on, and it's very specific. And the sense that we were getting from the Lord is we were just seeking him for the future, for this fall, and what he wants to accomplish through his church here, is we kind of felt like he was saying, we're the Dawn Treader. We're a smaller ship. We can turn quickly. There's specialized giftings that the Holy Spirit has distributed among us. Some of us haven't even discovered that yet, but you have them. And so as we think about moving forward, hey, welcome. You're supposed to be somewhere else in the world, aren't you? Glad you're here. Sorry, distraction. So what he's been saying is, the question we kind of took to the Lord was, how do we get the Dawn Treader moving? Kind of picturing the Dawn Treader sitting in the water. And one of the guys heard, well, there's actually oars. If you read the book, there's times where you have to row, even though it's a sailboat, and everyone's down below rowing. And we need that. We need people to grab an oar and start rowing to get it going. But then, more significantly, even God said that prayer is the sail that needs raised, and the Holy Spirit will fill that sail when you raise it. And that's going to be a discipline. We're going to talk about discipline this morning in our message, but there's going to be a discipline of prayer. And God's saying, you know, when you guys pray, when you really change your lives to be a life of prayer, I'm going to move on that. And guess who's going to get the glory for it as he makes us this salt and light community? We can look back and say, you know what? When we started praying and asking God to grow us and mature us and to do miraculous things that we can't do with our own hands, then he moved on that and we stuck with it. This is a season of back to work, back to school, whatever it is, and it's going to be digging into his word and the discipline of prayer, and not as a works thing, but as a discipline, which brings us to our topic this morning, in being fathered by God. Discipline. Don't you love that word? So let's have some interaction here. What do you think of when you hear the word discipline? What words come to mind for you? No wrong answer here. Correction. Yep. What's that? Trouble.
Pain.
Pain. Mm-hmm. Punishment. Most of my dad's childhood, yeah.
My wife.
Your wife. Wow, you're brave. I want to see that conversation out in the parking lot afterwards. Yeah?
There was this really ancient concept called spanking.
Spanking. Uh-huh. Spanked by God is what I should have called this. Any other ones?
Controlling your actions by your own will.
Controlling your actions. Okay, so that's kind of another aspect of discipline, like a self-discipline. Good. Yeah?
Same way, like athlete training or something like that.
Okay, good. Athlete training. So that brings me to the second question. When you think of someone being a disciplined person, what attributes do you think of them having? So he or she is really disciplined. What does that mean?
Consistency.
Consistent.
They have a trapper keeper notebook.
Absolutely, trapper keeper notebook with their name on the front.
Strength.
Strength.
Do what you don't want to do because it's the right thing.
Do what you don't want to do because it's the right thing. Tenacity.
Impulse control.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Conviction. Do you feel how the room shifted to positive as soon as we started talking about discipline in being a disciplined person? Yeah. Working towards a goal. Right. So a disciplined person has a goal in mind that they're working towards. Yeah, we view a disciplined person as a very positive thing. And I think we view self-discipline as a positive thing. But being under discipline, we tend to, you know, because a lot of times that means where you have done something wrong and we're being corrected for it. And that we see as negative because we screwed up and we're not perfect, which is no surprise, but we really take it hard. Let's look at first some definitions of discipline, because as we can see, there's already quite a variety of ways to approach the word discipline. So when I say delighting in God's discipline, there's a lot of different angles you can come at that. And that can feel like, how do you do that? Or it can feel like, oh yeah, I get it. So like in Proverbs 3:11, it's a famous proverb, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in." Okay? So we have in our English Bible, in the NIV at least, discipline used in both these places, but two different Hebrew words. And I am not a Hebrew scholar, so I'm going to say I'm wrong. But we can look at just in general this tokecha word here in that sentence is going to be correction, chastisement. Okay, so that's kind of the corrective, the spanking type thing. It might not be in the form of a spanking, but it's a correction of some sort. And then you have yakach right here. And that's going to be right, to argue, to decide, justify, or convict, appoint, chasten, convince, correct, a lot of possible meanings of this word depending on the usage, dispute, judge, maintain, plead, reason, rebuke, and reprove. Okay, so we get kind of from this proverb, discipline being used in the context of correction. Okay, so there's a corrective discipline. 1 Corinthians, we get this verse. Paul teaching to the Corinthian church, "Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Some versions say I beat my body, right? That word is, volunteer to say that? Hupo piazzo. Sounds like there's a couple kind of dirty words in there, but. All right. To hit under the eye, buffet or disable an antagonist as a pugilist. Anyone know what a pugilist is? Boxing. I'm impressed that some of you guys knew that. I was like, pugilist. Now I got to look up the dictionary for the understand the definition in the dictionary. So a pugilist is a boxer, usually like a professional boxer. So really what Paul's saying up here, I do not box as one beating the air. No, I beat myself. I box myself into submission, into alignment with God and his ways. Figuratively, to tease or annoy into compliance, subdue one's passions. Okay, so that's self-control. And that's something we can grab onto and say, yeah, I can control that, and that's a good thing, and that's an attribute I appreciate in people, because we're in control of that. But when we're being disciplined, when somebody outside of us is training and correcting, really with a heart for us to grow and mature, we don't like that so much, and we don't see that as a positive thing. And it's uncomfortable, as one person said. So English, in Webster's dictionary, says, here's some definitions for discipline when we see that English word show up in our translation of the Bible. The treatment suited to a disciple. Interesting. You ever put disciple and discipline together, like there's a connection? Or a learner. Education, development of the faculties by instruction and exercise, training, whether physical, mental, or moral. Number two, training to act in accordance with established rules, accustoming to systematic and regular action drill. Number three, subjection to rule, submissiveness to order and control, habit of obedience. Four, severe training, corrective of faults, instruction by means of misfortune, suffering, punishment, etc. And five, correction, chastisement, punishment inflicted by way of correction and training. So kind of all these terms, what I'm seeing is kind of two understandings of discipline that we'll talk about this morning. There's corrective discipline, and there's instructive discipline. So what's interesting is the root, Latin root of this English word is disco. And contrary to popular belief, right, Lawrence? I'm not going to have you come up and do an example of disco. Disco means to learn or to get to know. I'm going to read just this excerpt. Can I get some water up here? I can feel my throat going. I'm going to wait to read this maybe until I'm going to watch how Susan runs with water. Run. Come on. Run, 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 run. Yes. Oh, thank you. Impressive. She's going to slap me after the service. Okay. So listen to this. So looking at the root disco in Latin. This is from the Holman Bible Dictionary. It means to learn or get to know. And think of this as related to the word discipline. A direct kind of acquaintance with something or someone. Discipline refers to the process by which one learns a way of life. A disciple was like an apprentice who was learning a trade or craft from a master. Such learning required a relationship between the master, who knew the way of life, discipline, and a learner, a disciple. Within this relationship, the master led a learner through a process, the discipline, until the learner could imitate or live like the master. And so that's the discipleship that we have with God, is he's actually teaching us his craft. He's teaching us his character to be righteous. And so we learn that through discipline. If you are a disciple of Jesus, then you are under the discipline of God to become like him. Let's look at this morning a passage in Hebrews chapter 12 that talks all about discipline. So a little context here first. Don't read ahead. I'm going to go back. Context is the author of Hebrews is writing to the Hebrews, Hebrew Christians, believers of that time. And at this point in the book, chapter 11 is just finishing up with talking about the sacrifice. Okay, so getting into chapter 12, he's talking about the sacrifice that Jesus was obedient to, even though sinners were persecuting him. They had no right to. He was laying all of that down, and he was being disciplined by a disciplined person, right? He was being disciplined to succumb to all of that, even to the point of shedding his blood. And so the writer here is saying, look, put aside the sinful ways, kind of like Paul was saying, you know, let your body conform to the image of Christ. And don't fret if it's hard. You haven't gone to the point of shedding your blood, like Jesus, in denying yourself those pleasures of the sinful desires and laying those down. And so then he starts to talk about discipline a little bit in comparison to the discipline that Jesus exampled to us. He says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. So he goes back to the Proverbs. He quotes the one that we just looked at. Nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Okay. So delighting in his discipline doesn't mean we deny the fact that it's unpleasant or painful. But later, what happens if we lean into the discipline of the Lord? But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So it yields that fruit to those who have been trained by it. You can resist discipline. If you've done that with your earthly fathers, you know how that turns out. There's not a lot of fruit that comes out of the discipline at that point. But really, that lands on you now. And that's going to play out in your life. So the word that we were seeing in these verses, discipline, and how that's being used, is this Greek word, which means tutorage, education, or training, by implication, disciplinary correction. So it's interesting, you can see that word, like the English word, can have both of these meanings. It can be corrective, it can be training, instructional. So that's what we're going to look at this morning, is corrective discipline and instructive discipline. Okay? So let's talk about corrective discipline. I think of Jacob, the story of Jacob in the Old Testament. One of the fathers of Israel, that God was establishing his people through Jacob. And a lot of us know his story, so we know that he, early on in his life, was deceptive. Now, he wanted his father's blessing, even though as a twin, he was born a little bit after grabbing the heel of his brother, Esau. But he wanted the blessing, even though he wasn't the firstborn. And so he deceived his father into thinking he was Esau when his father's sight had failed, and he got the blessing through deception. But think about how his life played out after that. And I'm not going to claim that I know God orchestrated all the deceptions that came against him later in his life, if that was God or that was just circumstance, but I know God used them to get his attention, because then later in life, he was deceived by his uncle Laban when he wanted to marry one of Laban's daughters, and he was tricked in that and had to wait 7 more years for the woman that he loved. And then what about his own kids? His own sons, when they were mad at their little brother Joseph and sold him off to slavery, and they came back and they deceived Jacob. See all the deception that's coming back to him? Now, we could say, well, that's his punishment. That's what he gets. But I think whether God caused those things just because of his deception early in his life or not, let's not get hung up on that. God uses those situations if we lean into, if we're trained by his discipline, if we don't reject it, but we lean into it to make Jacob the man that he became, which in the end, we see him blessing Pharaoh. So Pharaoh, here's Pharaoh, the most powerful king in the world at that time, bowing before Jacob and being blessed by him at the end of his life. This man who lived by deception, but then experienced God, experienced what it's like to be on the other end, the receiving end of deception. And there's this working that God's doing. Corrective discipline by God can come in a lot of forms. For me, I've shared in the past, you know, some of the ways that there was a season of time where God was disciplining and training me. And one of the ways that he did that was to go back and take care of things that I'd done wrong in my youth. And it wasn't a legalistic thing, because there's no way you could do that. To think of all the wrong things you've done in your life to anybody and go back and take care of all those things. But he picked a select few. And I felt like, you know, some of those things were, you know, oh, I stole some canned food from my neighbor's shed. You know, we thought it would be fun, you know, the, my friend and I to sneak over the fence and go in there and see what's in the shed. And so he told me, and this is now I'm an adult, to go back to that house. The same guy still lived there 15 years later or whatever. And bring a $5 bill and give it to him for the stuff that I stole. And that included, what do you call that, inflation or whatever, interest? Interest, compound interest. I should have given him like 5 gallons of soup. So I did it. And it was discipline. It wasn't just a punishment, but it was the Lord saying, are you willing to take care of the wrongs that you've done? And I can tell you in doing that, and by that point in my life, I didn't have any interest in stealing anymore anyways, but it sure made me go, wow, that sucked, having to go back and do that, but it was really cool, and it made me say, I don't ever want any part in that kind of lifestyle again, because I am going to be obedient if the Lord tells me to take care of it. And then there was a time with the IRS, where 7 years before I had evaded some taxes. And we're talking about selling something on the side of the road. You know, I was making planter boxes and selling them. It wasn't a big deal. And the IRS person was kind of like, okay, this is weird. Like, why are you calling? All this time has passed. I guess you could pay us this amount of money if it'll make your conscience feel better. I said, it would, because God told me to do this. So I paid the back taxes. Again, it's not sitting down with a list. This is led by God. And it was a season of my life where there's multiple things where he asked me to do. And it was a time of discipline in my life. And coming through the other side of that because I allowed myself to be trained by it, it did something to my character. And it yielded what Hebrews 12 said, that peaceful fruit of righteousness in my life. It had an effect on me, and it still does. I mean, now, it's usually with my wife, my attitude's not right, I go to her and apologize. I mean, even for silly things. Like the other day, meaning a couple days ago, feels safer to say the other day, right? It's not quite as close, but I think it's like 2 days ago. I was talking, I had to call in a VIN number to get an oil change, a setup for my wife, and they wanted the VIN number, but I had to call in and leave a voicemail. And you know, you get into that and you realize I gotta, you know, say the word that goes with the letter. What is that called? You know, there's a military way of doing that. But I don't know the military way, so you just have to kind of think of words as you go. And with my sinus infection and everything, I got to K, and just Kentucky Fried Chicken was the one thing that came to mind. I'm like, I can't say that on this voicemail. So I said Connecticut. Yeah, okay. And so Star is listening, and she just starts laughing. And I got mad. I was just like, don't laugh at me. I don't feel well. And I'm trying to set this oil change up for you. And I snapped at her for that stupid thing. So I had to go back and apologize later because I had developed this discipline of taking care of that stuff. Yes.
Was the whole argument recorded?
Yeah, on the voicemail. Yeah, I can't wait to go in because I'm taking my truck in too and hear, oh, that's the Connecticut guy. Anyways. So let's turn, so I'm, you know, kind of being transparent here. Guess what? Now you're going to be transparent. No. Think about yourself, though. And when we talk about corrective discipline, the Lord's corrective discipline, the Father's corrective discipline in your life, how do you respond to that? Is it hard for you to go and apologize? For some of us, maybe it's so easy that we've just, it's kind of the burn is worn off on that, so I'll just do whatever and just keep going back and apologizing. But are you willing to respond to the Lord's instruction in your life? We take it really personally when something comes up in our lives that shows that we're not perfect. Any one of us could admit right now that we're not perfect and that we struggle in certain areas of our lives. But for some reason, when it happens, we get very defensive. And what I'm suggesting is the fruit, the peaceful fruit of righteousness that Hebrews says comes through the Father's discipline, is actually available if you lean into that correction in your life. So there's corrective discipline, and then there's instructive discipline. And this is maybe one of the hardest places to get to, but one of the most fruitful in your walk with God, is to be able to, I think it's a sign of maturity in your faith and in your relationship with God and your understanding of his character, if in the middle of a trial, a really difficult time, you can go to the Lord and say, God, what are you wanting to teach me in this? Don't hear me saying that that means he's causing all that trial and difficulty. And I think a lot of us get hung up on that question, and we never even get to the leaning into his discipline side of things. We're all about, is this God? Is this me? Did I sin? Is this the sins of other people? Would God do something like this in my life? What's going on with this situation? And sometimes we really, it's hard to sort that out. Sometimes we can, but we get stuck there and we don't even go to the next step, which is, what do you want to teach me, regardless of the source even? Sometimes the source will become clear if we could just get past that question and ask God, what do you want to teach me? And in that question, you might get an answer to why you're experiencing that trial, maybe. But what matters most is that you're learning from the Lord. In kind of a lighter topic, about a year ago, at the close of hunting season, I shared with you my frustrating hunting year last year. 4 beautiful opportunities at harvesting a buck. Blew every single one of them. And with each one, I got more and more frustrated. More and more felt like God doesn't love me. Don't laugh, no. And just deeper and deeper into that despair, and it took the third one, after the third time I'd lost an opportunity, I finally reached that point of going, you know what, I'm frustrated, I got all these emotions. I'm actually going, it's so hard to just get myself to do it, but I was like, I'm actually going to ask the Lord what he wants to teach me in this. And if you remember me telling that story, I went to the Lord in prayer while still out in the field, bow in hand. Lord, what are you trying to get at in me? Like, there's so much emotion and frustration and feeling just forgotten by you. And he said, in my heart, this is what I felt like the Lord's response was, if I was the only thing you had, would I be enough? I was like, oh, that puts things into perspective. Absolutely, you would be enough. But I can see that I'm not feeling like it. I'm feeling like I want success in this hobby of mine to really make me feel fulfilled and to have all that I want. So I was able to lay that down. And then a week later, he presents this beautiful buck. And I missed that one too. Which wasn't the end of the story, I thought. It's like, I've laid it down. I've let my emotion go. I realize God's teaching me he's enough. But now it'd be really cool to end the season. Last day of the season, by the way. And it didn't end that way. And then I just go, okay. I guess I need to stay in that posture. Is it really true? Almost like God was saying, you know, that was a great prayer time we had, Jeff. Now let's live it out. So as I move into the hunting season this year, I have to remind myself of that story and go, okay, Lord, I learned all my stuff. I'm disciplined. You're all that I need. Please give me a deer this year. But even with the instructive discipline, even last Sunday, actually 2 Sundays ago, when I made this challenge to pray and ask, I think that was learning to be directed by the Lord, how the Father guides us and directs us, and just encouraged all of you to listen to God and say, is there someone that you want me to pray for? Just a simple step. Maybe it's pray for them in person or call them, or maybe it's just pray for them. As I gave that challenge to all of you, even from up front here, I felt like the Lord was challenging me to go and pray for somebody who at that moment was in hospice, in the hospital, someone out, one of their other friends had reached out to me and said, hey, you know, would you be able to come and pray? And I love this woman. And I wanted to go and pray, but I also was wrestling with giving up my afternoon, to be honest. To be like, oh, you know, yeah, but it's just like last minute and I don't know, I'm really tired. And I was fighting it before the service, though, you know, when you know this is what I need to do. And then I gave that challenge to all of you, and I'm like, I can't just give a challenge to other people. I've got to obey it and walk through it myself. By the time I got home, I was resolved, I need to go pray for this woman in the hospital. And so I told my family, I'm going to go do this. This is the person God's challenging me to go pray for. And then my wife and daughter jumped in too, which was awesome. So the three of us went down there, had a great just time with the Lord and praying over this woman, and her adult daughter was there, just kind of sitting in the room with her. We were able to pray for her. So it was a time where God really ministered to them, to us. It was a really special time, but that was discipline for me that was instructive. So the Lord asking me to do something that's uncomfortable. Now, it's not uncomfortable for me to go pray for someone in the hospital. I've done it hundreds of times. But in that moment, the Lord caught me in a place where my own discipline to jump at those opportunities was being challenged. And I had to fight through that, and I had to not ignore it, and I could have come up with plenty of reasons to say, it's okay, some other people have gone down and prayed for her, it's covered, when, for me, in that moment, God was asking me to do it. And so, maybe that brings something to mind for you, that the Lord's been asking you to do, that he will ask you to do today. How do you tend to react to that? Do you go to the, I can explain away why I shouldn't do this or why I don't need to act on this because it's uncomfortable or it means I have to change things around in my day or my schedule? Or do you look at that as an opportunity to produce that peaceful fruit of righteousness that the Father's trying to get to through discipline in your life? And I think that's why we're moving into this season of challenge to get into the Word more, to be disciplined enough to lay some things down and make room for consuming the Word of God. I think we're going to be challenged in our prayer lives as we start to talk about the Holy Spirit and his role in our life that he's been given by Jesus, sent to connect us to the Father, and that there's a powerful life that's meant to come out of that. And if we're not experiencing that or seeing that or understanding that, there's a discipline of pressing in and believing and trusting. So that's the season that we're entering into. We started this series on being fathered by God with a question. Does anyone remember what that question was? Class. The first question on the first message was, will you let him? So as we talked about God as Father, one of the biggest snags for us, obstacles, is we don't let him father us. That would be like me 2 Sundays ago just saying, I know, but I can reason away why I shouldn't go pray for this person, and I'm just going to move on with my day. And harden my heart to the conviction. And I can keep doing that until it really doesn't, I don't even feel it, to just push off the Father trying to discipline or guide or affirm me in ways so our hearts become hard and we don't let him father us in all these different ways we've been studying about his character. But what we've learned in the last couple of months is he's a really good Father, like we sung about. He actually wants to affirm us and call us up to be like him. He wants to guide us. He wants to discipline us, which is a good thing, because the discipline comes to the disciples who are becoming more and more like Christ. So some questions kind of related to the topic this morning would be that you could be asking the Lord this week, Father, where are you correcting me? Some of you know as soon as I started this message, oh yeah. He's been trying to get me to stop this thing for a long time. And I'm not being trained by his discipline. I'm pushing it away. Or he's been trying to get me to start to do something that I haven't been doing. And I just am growing numb to even responding to his voice in that. So do you have an instruction for me? Might be another way of asking that question. Or a harder question, what do you want to teach me in this trial? So for some people in here, you're going through some really hard stuff. And again, it's not about the wrestling match of who's causing that or saying, oh, God's disciplining me. That's why everything's falling apart in my life. The discipline that the author in Hebrews 12 was talking about, a lot of that was persecution that was coming to the church. And that's the context of that discipline. And so there's a discipline of persecution that happens because this world is against Jesus Christ and everything he stands for. And the enemy is against it. And so when we stand for Jesus Christ, everything isn't going to be roses in our life. And the New Testament tries to make that very clear to us so that we cannot despair and say, what's the point of this faith? It's getting me persecution. It's ruining my relationships with friends and family. And in some places, it's people are dying or being thrown in prison for it. But the discipline that's coming out of it is the peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who are trained by it, so that you learn that it doesn't matter if you're thrown in prison, it doesn't matter if you lose your best friend over your faith, or your family, or your job, or your life. The discipline that you attain is to that measure of Christ, Jesus, who is willing to give it all for righteousness. And so that's what we're being trained up to. So in your trial right now, what do you want to teach me in this trial is a question for God. Like I had to ask with hunting even. What are you trying to teach me right now in this frustration? And he wants to speak into that. Worship team, if you want to come up. I just want to close. And these questions, this whole PowerPoint we put up on our website every week. So go if you haven't written them down, you know, go to the website, pull up these questions, which one's resonating with you, and do something about it. Respond to it. Ask the Lord. Be watching this week for how he's trying to discipline. And don't resist it like, oh, you're a bad kid because God's correcting something in your life. It's actually a sign of his pursuit and love for you, as we just read in Hebrews 12. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you identify to us that you are our Father and we are sons and daughters. That's so amazing to me that you're not only this amazing, glorious, high and exalted God and creator of the universe. But then you speak to us and say, son, daughter, come and sit with me and let me train you, discipline you, affirm you, and let me help you be more like me. So we just choose a posture in whatever ways maybe we've been resistant to that, a posture of openness to your discipline. I pray that over every person here this morning. And that's your choice to take that posture. But I choose, Lord, to receive your discipline to help me become more like you. I pray that you would continue that, Lord. And even as we move into talking about the Holy Spirit, we would continue to walk being fathered by you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.